stars are kind of important to people in Roanoke. And so we're going to talk about the star. Not the Roanoke star, but the star of Bethlehem. If you strip away the legend that was first laid down by the tabloid church, inquiring minds want to know. We tell ourselves stories to explain what we don't understand. Everybody knows there were three wise men, right? But the scripture mentions three gifts. It never tells us how many wise men took the star tour. Probably, one story says, at least 12. Interesting, isn't it? And they have been called, according to some of our hymns, kings, but the text actually calls them magi, which means they were priests of a different religion, possibly advisors to the court of some foreign land, probably astrologers, who regularly sought signs from the heavens. They've been named. Marco Polo, in his tour through China, actually came up with the names of at least three, Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar. According to the tradition, Caspar was a black-skinned person. None of this is in the Bible, just in the imaginations of later believers. Interesting, though, how certain interpretations of Scripture become facts, even when they aren't really supported by the text. Matthew simply tells us after Jesus was born, magi from the east showed up in Jerusalem asking, where is the child who's been born king of the Jews? Now, we saw his star, and it's rising, and have come to pay him homage. And then they asked the current king, Herod, because it's the diplomatic thing to do, right? And they would expect he would know, right? They may not know, but Matthew knows that Herod and his advisors also know. The rabbinic tradition claims that a star will appear when Abraham was born, that a star would appear when Isaac was born, that a star would appear when Moses was born. And in the book of Numbers, the prophet Balaam says a star will come out of Jacob among the Jews of that day. The belief was widespread that God would send a star to announce the birth of the great leaders. Herod was terrified, a little jealous, a little worried. He was the king, right? And so when someone comes to your court and says, oh, by the way, another king has been born, well, there is a problem. Because any land is only allowed one king. Herod asks the advisors where the Messiah is supposed to be born, and they tell him, Bethlehem. So Herod sends the Magi to Bethlehem, and then just to show us how useless Herod really is, Matthew tells us the star leads the Magi to Bethlehem anyway, where they find Jesus and Mary. And now if the star appeared on the silent night, holy night, when Jesus was born, and that's when they began their journey, the Magi probably arrived when Jesus was at least 2 years old. And some actually suggest Jesus was closer to 5 or 6 years old. Because you see, it was a long journey. They didn't have buses, you know, that they could catch on the star tour to get to Bethlehem. They had to walk. And it was a long way. And the question is, did everyone see the star? I mean, does it shine continuously? Or is it some kind of astral phenomenon known to us today as a comet or an asteroid or a supernova? Was it some kind of special light like the fiery pillar that led Israel through the wilderness? And the text doesn't tell us. And when they finally see Jesus, the star chasers kneel in homage. They give him gold, and they give him frankincense, and they give him myrrh. And you all understand what that means, right? Symbolic, at least. It was sort of like, I think, giving a baby a savings bond. Anybody ever do that, you know? What's an infant going to do with gold, frankincense, and myrrh? What's an infant going to do with a savings bond, for that matter? But what he really needs, and you women have already come up with this, is what? Well, diapers would have been better, right? And maybe some food, you know, maybe a crib. That's why they say that they were men and not women, because women would have bought much more practical gifts. Gold was for royalty. Frankincense for divinity, symbol of prayer, and myrrh was used in embalming, a symbol of human mortality. And after this, Matthew says the wise men skedaddled without consulting Herod, because now the guy was a nightmare about to happen, and they took a different way home. That's the story, pure and simple. Stripped of the legend. Of course, some want to say the whole story was a legend to begin with. It's a metaphorical way of announcing Jesus' birth was recognized by creation itself, that other religions paid homage to Jesus, and that the rulers of the day were concerned about holding on to their power or submitting to God's power. All of this is the legend part. I believe the story happened and still happens today, because it's fundamentally a story about the wisdom of following your star and seeking God. Why did they set out on the journey? I mean, even if they were astrologists and they saw the star, how did they know what it meant? And what were they seeking that would lead them to take this kind of a risk, leaving the security of their home, their position, to make this long, difficult, dangerous journey to find what? According to Beatrice Hinkle, there's one great and universal wish of humanity. It's expressed in all religions, in all art, in all philosophy, in all human life, the wish to pass beyond ourselves as we are. We call it transcendence. Some describe the goal as the search for meaning, for the quest and the understanding to know more than just me. Other religions call this heaven, nirvana, enlightenment. In our time, we call it psychologically self-actualization. In our tradition, and in the Christian tradition, the goal is named God. To seek after God. The psalmist puts it this way, you have made us for yourself, and or Augustine says, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find rest in thee. And the psalmist says, as a deer longs for the flowing stream, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. O God, you are my God. I seek you, my soul thirsts for you, my flesh faints for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. And according to the psalmist and Augustine and others, our souls truly are restless until we understand that we're here for a purpose bigger than ourselves. You're not here just for you. I know there are some people who think they are. But you're not. You're here because you're created by God to serve God And a big part of what we do each week is to come here to try to understand what that search is about, how we can live more faithfully our lives for God, not just for us. And isn't that wonderful that we're not here just for us? That's a good thing. We are here to be used by God in a bigger way than simply taking care of ourselves. The inner yearning, I think, is universal for God. And people have this journey that they take seeking the answer, and many seek it in quite different ways. Some follow the star of a career. Some seek meaning in what they do or how much they can accomplish. Some follow the star of family, seeking life in relationship and children and in home. Some go off to seminary and they seek transcendence in study and meditation and then through service. And many find what they seek by belonging or giving themselves or receiving from others, meeting their spiritual hungers. Sex, drugs, rock and roll. Don't I sound like a Baptist minister now? We're looking for something beyond us. And we're trying to find it in some way. Why am I here? And we want to pass beyond the void of nothingness, chaos of death. And there's a restlessness, and it pushes us for more, and it's the journey that every human takes. I want to commend you today to the journey of your spirit. I want you to follow your star. I don't want you to give up. I don't want you to settle for less. I don't want you to get stuck in the rut because it's comfortable and it's easy. And when you see the light, go for it. Don't stay in the darkness trembling. Don't grasp that puny power you have and not follow the light. Don't give up on yourself, and don't ever give up on God. I don't know what the journey will mean for you. I don't know where the light of your star will take you, but it will take you beyond yourself. It could lead you far away from here. It could take you to confront the ruling powers in a capital city, or it could lead you to find a poor child in some forgotten village who needs your love. It may very well leave you where you are, but call you to go deeper and deeper within yourself and find what you're seeking. Take the journey. Take the journey. Follow your star and never quit seeking God. There's a few tips the wise men give us for the road. First of all, you'll find opposition to your journey. There are obstacles in the road. You know, when you tell people that you want to live your life for God, you're going to get all kinds of answers. There are going to be distractions and diversions and rest stops. Sometimes they're dwelling places. And some people get stuck and they stop moving on. And some people give up the search completely. They think they found enough of God that they need to find, and there's any more to find, so they just give up. How sad. You remember how long it took the runaway slaves of Egypt to get to the promised land? 40 years, right? Folks, it doesn't take 40 years to travel from Egypt to Israel. I mean, even if you were crawling, you could get there. It doesn't take 40 years. It took them 40 years because of the obstacles. People who didn't want them to start, people who didn't want them to end, people who preferred them staying where they were. And at the same time, there were inner obstacles. They had fears and false securities and the longing for the old days and wanting to go back to where they used to be. And the realization that sometimes it's easier to be a slave than to be free, because if you're free, you have to make your own decisions. And it's hard. And you have to be responsible for yourself. And they weren't ready for a relationship with a demanding God. And sometimes we think we want God to be close and we want God to be real, but in truth, we're afraid of the changes that God will make in our life. And the idols that we might have to let go of. Or the directions that we might have to take in order to follow the star. And so we just rather stay where we're at. Thank you very much. The sages leave their contemplation and follow the star. And what do they find? Well, they find Jesus. What do they see? And I would ask you, is that the end of their journey? Or the beginning? I want to tell Christians, finding Jesus isn't the end. It's the beginning. There's a whole lot more out there. That's important. You get to that place. You receive and accept Jesus into your heart. Folks, that's important. But there are way too many Christians who think that's the end. It's the beginning. It's the starting point of the journey that your life will take of living your life fully for God. It's the starting point, not the ending point. You've got a whole lot more ahead of you. Told the story about Mr. Money. He was 100 years old and he told me, "My life is over and I don't even know why I'm living anymore, preacher. Why don't I just die?" I said, "Mr. Money, you're 100 years old, but you've got all your faculties. You're in great shape. You can do a whole lot for God yet." "No, I've done enough for God. I'm done." "Why didn't God just take me?" Well, I talked Mr. Money into doing something for God. And on Easter Sunday, he decided he was going to do something. He walked up at the end of the service, and people were getting ready to leave, and it was a long service. We had lots of music. And Mr. Money said, "I'm going to tell the story about my life." Now, Mr. Money lived to be 100 years, and I was really nervous. And I said, "Mr. Money, this is not the time. You told me that God wasn't done with me, and I prayed about this, and this is what God wants me to do. He wants me to tell my story, and so I'm going to tell it." I thought, "Oh no, I'm going to get fired." Nobody remembers my Easter sermon, but everybody remembers Mr. Money's story. He said, "This is what I've learned in 100 years of living for God." And I thought, "Oh, 100 years, oh my." Remember what he said? "God is faithful. And he sat down. Hundred years, God is faithful. Don't you ever give up on God. Keep living your life towards God. Will there be obstacles? Yes. Will there be difficulties? Will there be challenges? Yes. And all the things that life will throw at you. But you are a useful vessel. You are here because God wanted you here, and God wants to use you in some new way this coming year. God has a plan for you, a purpose for you, a desire for you to use your gifts, your life, for Him. Follow the star. Follow the star. Don't give up. The journey may take you places you've never been before, and to people that you've never anticipated going to. It may cause you to be stretched in ways that you never imagined being stretched. It may lead you in some new and unimaginable places. Follow the star. When you're driving down Roanoke, into Roanoke on 581, you top this little rise, and then there's this star in the Roanoke landscape. You know what I'm talking about, skyline. It's a nice view. But then it goes down, and then it comes around, and it's gone. Still there, though, right? I mean, isn't it? The star? I mean, it's still there. Isn't it? Even if you can't see it all the time. But if it disappears from view for a while, don't stop the car and give up. Trust the road. Trust the journey. Keep moving forward. And in those times, God actually might be a little closer. You don't stop and give up. You don't turn around and go back, and you move and trust the road and you keep on the journey. According to Matthew, the wise men go home another way. I think they're different. I think they've changed. And I think the journey of the Spirit always continues, and God's Spirit waits for us on the way, and that God is here with us even now in the flesh and blood of Jesus and in the body and the soul of those around us. There's a great story that's told. It's called "And I Thought My Father Was God." It's a collection of stories from NPR. Grace Fichtelberg tells about the time her sister Dottie was taking care of her, and she was about 6 years old, and they lived in the Bronx, and Dixie said that she got dragged into her friend's apartment, and they were making a lot of noise, and behind downstairs there was somebody there who was irritated with the sound of the children, and she started banging on the roof, and she threw up a loud cry, and then she said, "Do I have to come up there and get you kids?" Well, the kids got a little scared, and they took off. And Dixie said, "We didn't know where we were going," and she grabbed Grace, and they ran up the stairway to the roof, and then they went across the roofs in Brooklyn, across the buildings from the top of the roofs, from one to the other, to the other, to the other, and finally they got to one, and they went through an entrance, and they came down the building, and they came out, and she said, "I came out on a different street. I didn't know where I was, but I saw children play," and she said, "I thought I was in heaven. I thought we'd taken the road and gone to heaven. We went all the way up, and we went across, and we came out in a different place, and there were children there playing. And it was a whole different place." And then she said, "We went around a street corner, and my sister looked at me, and she said, 'You're stupid.'" We're not in heaven. And then she said, "We went around the block, and there we were, right back home again." Sometimes the spiritual journey isn't about finding what you need, but seeing what's there. The Magi discover God manifest in our world in an unexpected way, in an out-of-the-way place. But I imagine them continuing their journey with a new reality. So this is what heaven looks like. And they had a new awareness of God. A new understanding. Folks, strip away the legend. Let go of the stories you tell yourself to keep yourself right where you are. Where is the light of Christ's star leading you? Are you getting closer to God? You should be. Have you stopped the journey? And why do you think you're here anyway? Except to live your life for God. And don't you want to? Don't get stuck. Don't get bogged down. Don't get weary. Don't get weak. Keep on moving. Follow the star. Let's pray. God, give us courage to move forward in the journey. Give us the comfort of knowing, God, that you guide us and direct us and use us, and that you're calling us to a deeper life, a more faithful life for you. And in those times, God, when we get stuck by fear or frustration or by weariness or weakness, free us and push us to continue on. And may we never stop seeking you until we get home. In Jesus' name, amen.